Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're happy you're with us here this May 24th. It's 2026. This is Memorial Day weekend here in the United States, and we've had a nice warm week leading up to this. It feels like summertime here in Virginia. Yeah. And we just want to welcome you all here to New Visions Radio. You can find us here every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, USA. We want to thank Ray Powers for putting us on the air and covering for us last week while I was out of town. And Ray, we appreciate everything you do for us and keeping in touch with me. And it's funny because I was out of town and Ray sends me a text. He says, "Hey, are you going to be on the air tonight?" And I said, "As long as you put us on the air, we'll be on there." So he always follows through with me. And I really appreciate that. Ed, what's going on in your life? What do you have going on?
I've gotten in contact with a gentleman. Actually, he's going to come visit us here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's right.
From Ghana.
Yeah, he's a pastor.
He has a ministry, a fairly large ministry there, who, as far as I can tell, tries to preach the Word of God.
Yeah, it does seem that way. And now you met him one time at a camp meeting.
Years ago, and I didn't realize that we had met previously until after I had talked to him a few times, and he had mentioned this camp meeting I went to in Arkansas, and I thought, wow, I'm trying to put two and two together, I met him there.
Okay. So what's interesting about this is this man's in Ghana, and he needed Bibles for the people that he's witnessing to.
Right.
And this is something that we as a ministry try to provide to each one of you who listens, because it's so important that we have Bibles. Now, the Bibles that we have are the King James and the New King James, which are English. But he speaks English, well, at least some, right?
Right.
But they have a different language.
Yeah, they have a different language, and they have a Bible that is in their language.
Yeah.
And what it's translated from, I don't know, in terms of manuscript or version of the Bible. But
yeah. I was talking with someone just yesterday. We were having a Bible study together, and he asked me about the King James Bible, and he says, "Do they make the King James Bible in other languages?" And I said, "You know, that's an interesting question, because as far as I'm concerned, the King James Version stands alone unless somebody did a word-for-word translation."
Yeah, the language in Ghana is Twi, T-W-I, Twi,
okay.
Twi, I don't know how you say it.
Yeah.
And so that's what the language of their Bible is written in.
Okay. So, the Bible, this is another interesting fact that those listeners might not know. The Bible is the most translated book in the world. Nothing even comes close. In fact, the Bible is the best, they say the best-selling, we could say the most distributed book in the world.
Mm-hmm.
If you take the all-time bestseller, even today, the all-time bestseller of all time, the Bible dwarfs the selling of the best publication in the world. So, excuse me. So it says a lot for the Word of God and the importance of getting it out to people. So this is a good time for me to say this. Friends, if you need a translation or a copy of the Bible, let us know and we'll get that to you. And if somebody wants to contact you, Ed, how do they contact you?
You can reach me at edprophecyhope.com.
You can reach me, mark@prophecyhope.com, or you can just send a general email to office@prophecyhope.com, and we will provide a Bible for you free of charge. And Ed, did you want to tell us a little bit about how we meet here at Prophecies of Hope?
Yes, we're just a small little ministry that God has provided us a building. He gave us the money to purchase a building. He gave us the skills, everything that we need to take this pretty dilapidated old church and to fix it up, and now that's where we meet to have services.
We meet
on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and we meet on Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, Saturday, for our church service, where we have Sabbath school and then our church service.
And so if you would like to join us via Zoom, let us know. We can send you a Zoom link, because we do Zoom the Sabbath school and the Bible study. But you can also live stream, as Ed mentioned, on the Sabbath morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, USA. And I don't know, is there anything else we need to share with
Not
everybody?
Not that I can think of.
I think we've covered everything. We try to do that every week because new people tune in on a regular basis. So, Ed, would you pray for us, please?
Sure. Father in heaven, we are thankful to be here today, to be able to open your Bible, the Word of God. And Father, as we look at the life of Jesus and his interaction with people, both friends and opponents, that we can see how he lived his life, how he tried to reach everybody, how he tried to share the truth of who you are and the way of salvation. So, Father, as we read and study these things, give us wisdom and knowledge to understand them, and help us to know how to apply these things to our lives. And, Father, we ask that you guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Ed, you mentioned in your prayer regularly that we're guided by the Spirit of truth. It's so important that we know and that we're unified in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Because if it's not the Spirit of truth that's guiding us, it's some other spirit. And we've talked about this in the past, which goes along with our study. Right before we turned the mics on here, we were talking about how there's so much division in the churches. And here in Matthew chapter 12, where we've been spending some time the last several weeks, my Bible, where we started last week in verse 22, has a heading that says, "A house divided cannot stand."
Mm-hmm.
And we were I just want to share this with the friends that are listening. We were just talking a little bit about how the adversary is constantly trying to cause division among not just people in general, in the world in general, but especially in the churches. And this is something that even here at this ministry, we're just a little tiny ministry. We're insignificant.
Yeah.
We really are. I mean, we're not even a blip on the screen to the smallest denomination because we're not a denomination. And even here, we see that sometimes people will come in and try to overturn the doctrines of God's Word. And
blatantly sometimes.
Yes. And so when I see this heading, "A house divided cannot stand," somehow God has miraculously been, I don't know why we're getting these tests, but we're getting them, but he's been helping us to overcome these things.
You know, I think in part, even though it's difficult to go through and it's difficult to deal with difficult people, what we have decided to do is just continually to bring people back to the Word of God over and over and over again when they bring up falsehoods. And they will eventually, on their own, decide to leave.
Yes. I know there are, the church that I grew up in, if you go against their doctrine, they want to remove you from the church, remove you from membership. I think the church that you grew up in, they do the same thing.
Sure.
I think most churches, they try to divide you, or maybe to different degrees. Some of them just say, well, you can't be a member here anymore. And some of them just oust you and shun you. And that's the background I came from. But here in this fellowship, we just, it's amazing because they'll keep coming with a particular, let's just face it, false doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll try to infiltrate the teachings during Bible study.
Some of these are common false doctrines
Yes.
that most churches teach.
Yes, they are. Things that you've heard us talk about here on this radio program that are contrary to what probably the majority of Christians believe. We know and understand and believe what the Bible says rather than what man is teaching.
See, I think it's important for people to understand that we have decided to study God's Word and to go by what it says, not what people say it says or the philosophy or in doctrine and commandments of men, but to really read the Bible to simply find out what it says and then try to change God, allow God to change our lives to be consistent with His Word.
And the problem is, let's face it, Ed, you and I come from different backgrounds,
sure.
as do many other people. And when we come together in a worship service, I bring baggage. Just naturally,
sure.
that's what I grew up with, believing certain things. You bring baggage from your background.
Right.
So we have to reconcile. How do we settle those differences?
It's going to be by the Word of God.
It has to be.
And if you can't find an answer in the Word of God, you know, just set it aside. It's not important.
So true. And this is, again, this is another problem that can happen even in a little tiny ministry like this. People might have, there seem to be certain agendas. And again, when I look at this, a house divided against itself or a house divided cannot stand. So when I look at what this says, I'm just going to start here in verse 22. Mm-hmm. Then one was brought to him, that's brought to Jesus, who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him. And the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. So what's the accusation here?
That Jesus cast out this demon by the power of Satan.
Unbelievable. And this was the religious leaders that were telling the people this.
Yeah, of the nation.
Yes. And so this shows how the devil can get into the mind of people. He can take people that know what Scripture says, mm-hmm. that know God's Word, and cause them to speak things contrary to the Word of God.
Now, this is what Jesus told the people, you know, do what the religious leaders tell you to do, but don't do as they do.
Don't do as
they do. They don't follow their own teachings.
Right.
And so here we see an example of this, you know, claiming that Jesus cast out demons by the power of Satan.
Yes. So he goes on and he talks about this, and then down near the bottom of this text, in verse 31, Jesus says, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. And from this statement, there is a lot of false doctrine that people adopt and believe. And they begin to believe that there are, instead of God the Father of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and Jesus Christ the Son of God, they believe that there's a third person that you can blaspheme.
Well, that's because they don't read the whole context. They read the whole account or story. Because in verse 28 it says, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. He cast out demons by the power of his Father, by the Spirit that he received of his Father, he received at his baptism.
Yes.
The Spirit of Jehovah, Spirit of Yahweh. It's not another being. It's your spirit is your spirit. My spirit is my spirit. It's not another being. So, you know, one thing I want to bring out here, you talked about a house being divided. Mm-hmm. There's a text in Amos, the book of Amos. It's a minor prophet after the book of Daniel, just at the end of the Old Testament. And it's chapter 3, verse 3. And it says, it actually asks a question. Can two walk together unless they are in agreement?
Yeah, I see that. Can two walk together unless they are agreed, it says in the New King James. So this is, it's interesting how the devil will insert people into certain places to cause this division. It happens in churches. It happens in little ministries like this. It happens in homes.
Yes.
Between families. It happens in the world. Look at the world today. How divided is the world? Not only politically, but even religiously. There mm-hmm. are thousands of religions, Ed. There are thousands of religions, and part of this comes from, when we started here, we were talking about how I bring baggage from my background, you bring baggage from yours. Each of us have that. But to come together, there's got to be a unity. Christ said that when he was speaking to his disciples in John, he said, I and the Father are one, and we are to be one with them. How can we do that if I'm following men?
Well, first of all, you have to agree what truth is. And according to the Bible, God's word is truth.
Amen.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. God's law is the truth, according to Psalms 119. So if you don't agree those things are truth, and you have your own version of the truth, either from your church or your pastor or your favorite YouTuber or whatever, then you're going to have conflict, because each has a different foundation that they're trying to build their, for lack of a better term, spiritual life on.
So true.
And so unless you are united in the Word of God and have decided that this is going to be the foundation of your belief system, and you recognize when people try to change it, and that often occurs, then you can stick with the foundation that you found to be true, which is the Word of God. And that's how you are united. You're not united in a leader, in a preacher.
Right.
In a board.
Or by taking on the name of a denomination. That doesn't unify you.
Right.
Something you said is very important, Ed. You said that you were talking about the law of God.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the problems, is that the majority of Christians, they deny the law of God.
So is it a surprise that the world is the way it is when people say you don't have to be obedient, God's law has been done away with?
No, it's not. But that's the thing. This has creeped into the church to where they've said, well, the law's been done away. I don't have to worry about it. I don't do it. So this causes division. And we get that division when people come here and they'll see us worshiping on the Sabbath day that God established at creation. And they'll say, you guys are legalistic.
For our blessing, for our betterment, for our happiness.
Yes.
It's not to limit you at all. It's to make life better.
Right. And so
a day he blessed and sanctified, made holy.
Right. And we get this a lot. People will say, well, you guys always focus on the Sabbath. Well, no, we focus on the whole law, because we also focus on the God of the Sabbath.
You know, it's interesting what you just said. Some people say we focus on the Sabbath. Some people say we focus on who Jesus is. Some people say we focus on other things.
Right.
It's the things that are offensive to them that they attack us on, that they say we focus on.
That's it. And I think the reason why these topics come up like this is because it's an imposition for that person. When I learned about that, I wasn't a Sabbath keeper all of my life. And when I learned about it, it was an imposition for me.
Right.
I didn't want to make that change. You talk about it often, Ed. What about the change?
Mm-hmm.
It's a strange feeling. I wanted to make it, but it was uncomfortable for me. I wanted to make the change, but I didn't want to make the change.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I wanted to do it, but my selfishness wanted to stay where I was because it was comfortable and it was going to impose on my personal life.
You know, I don't know how to say this, but I was thinking about a relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Hmm. If you don't see any value in them, if you don't value their laws, their way of living, their morality, whatever you want to call it, if you don't see value in those things, then how are you going to follow them? How are you going to love them? How do you want to be with them?
Right, for eternity.
How do you want them to interact on a daily basis with you in your life if you don't, if you can't agree with what they have written in God's Word, the Bible? How are you going to desire to be with them for eternity? And if you're just trying to create a checklist of things that you have to do, oh man, I guess I have to do that. In order to be saved, quote, be saved or salvation, then you're missing the whole point of what God wants to do with you in your life. He wants a relationship with you.
You hit the nail on the head, Ed, when you said a checklist and, oh boy, now I have to do that. That was my viewpoint when I first looked at the commandments. The 9 of them I really didn't have a problem with, but it was one that I had a problem with. And for me, it was the Sabbath. For the rich young ruler, it was something different.
Right.
He didn't have a problem with the Sabbath. It was imposing on a different part of his life. So really, I think all of us at some point in our lives, maybe we look at it as a checklist instead of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so turning it into a relationship is so important. And I think this is what Jesus was trying to establish with his disciples, that they would have that relationship so that when he left them, they would continue to be faithful. It would be, if I'm not here, it's kind of like when the cat's away, the mice will play. We've all heard that. Mm-hmm. And when my parents were home, I was always a good boy. But when they left, I would sometimes tend to do things that I wouldn't do when they were there.
Right.
Is that what we do today with our relationship with God and Jesus? Well, nobody's here, but aren't God's eyes always upon us?
Sure, yeah. There's text in the Old Testament that God's talking through his prophet to the people, like in Isaiah, Jeremiah. It says, they don't think I see them.
Yeah, that's right. Or they honor me with their lips.
But their heart is far from me.
And this is the problem. I think that it's our heart condition. Where are we in our walk with Jesus?
You know, the Bible talks about, I think it's 1 John chapter 5, if you love me, maybe chapter 3, I don't know, it's in there someplace. If you love me, keep my commandments. My commandments are not burdensome. They're not grievous, according to the King James. Think about what that means, though. If you love somebody, you want to have that relationship. You want to please them. You want to have just a natural relationship, nothing that's fake, nothing that, okay, I got to do this, type attitude.
Right.
Because you love them, you care them, you see value in them, and because they love you, God loves us.
Yes.
Look what he's done for us. Doesn't that draw you to him? Doesn't that make you want to have a relationship with him? If you don't know God, open his word. People say some terrible things about God.
They do. It's horrible. It's horrible.
And if you don't know God for yourself, how are you going to know what to believe about God?
You said something in Sabbath school a week ago. You mentioned how God loves us, and it's obvious that he loves us because he sent his son. But the question is, how much do we love God?
Right.
God loves us so much he sent his son. Do we love God enough that we will simply do what he asks?
Mm-hmm. I've told this story before. When I was a young kid, I don't know, maybe 5, 6 years old, I remember going to my grandma's house, and all our relatives would come and be together for like a reunion. And it was so much fun. I got to see all my cousins. Everybody's so nice to me. I loved being there because how they made me feel. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that kind of relationship with God, then how are you going to serve him? How are you going to be obedient to him? How are you going to find the way of eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ, if you don't have that kind of relationship?
And it's important that Hebrews 10:25 tells us not to forsake the gathering of ourselves.
Right.
So we need to come together. But to come together is to help each other and to draw closer to God. The problem that we have today, and I was guilty of this too, the church sometimes is like a social club.
Mm-hmm.
And we like the warmth of the brothers and sisters in Christ, and we like being around them. We like the things that we do together. But that's not the only time that you talk with God or come close to God. It should be a daily walk.
Sure. It's a relationship.
That's exactly what it is. It's not a routine. It's not a ritual. But for most of us as Christians, that's what it has become.
Mm-hmm.
It's become a routine or a ritual. But we should see a complete change in lifestyle of the Christian.
We all have difficulties in this life, mm-hmm. and we all have happy moments in this life. God wants to be part of each.
Yes.
Sometimes we tend to go to him only when we have problems. He wants to have that same type of relationship when things are going well, to say, thank you, Father, for what you're doing.
Yes.
I didn't even ask, but thank you for doing this for me, or thank you for helping me find this job. Thank you for helping me solve this problem. There's so many things to be thankful for.
Yes. Ed, I walk almost every single day.
Right.
Sometimes it's early in the morning. Sometimes it's after it gets dark because of my schedule. Particularly in the mornings, is there something about walking in the morning that is just beautiful. The birds are singing, they're waking up, and this type of thing. And there have been so many times that I've just been walking along and thanking God for waking me up this morning, that I feel good, that while the world is in turmoil, we live in a beautiful place here in the Shenandoah Valley. And I thank Him for where we live. In many ways, we're sheltered from so many things. We don't have, there was an earthquake tremor here years ago, but we're not truly affected by earthquakes or hurricanes or tornadoes. We really live in and even the economy here, instead of peaks and valleys like a lot of the world sees, it kind of rolls with the flow. And I don't know that there's a more beautiful, more balanced place to live than where we are. And I'm grateful
for that. Where we live.
It's true. People tend to bring their qualities with them, but it's a beautiful place. And I thank God for giving me the health, for preserving me through some times that I had trouble.
You know, the other day, I think I told you, I went out and bought a old garden tiller.
Yes.
And I drove a ways to pick it up, and I met this nice family, and their son was like 16 years old, and he had worked on it. Somebody gave it to him. Apparently he fixes things and works on mowers and stuff like this. And just meeting them, you know, I just felt blessed, and just a slight spiritual conversation. I had this shirt on that I have on today.
Can everybody see that shirt? You see?
Yeah. It says, my confession, referring to Matthew chapter 16. And we'll talk about that when we get there. Mm. Jesus asks the disciples, who do men say that I am? And then he asks Peter, who do you say that I am? And he says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so this lady who had 10 kids...
Wow.
That's a big family. Shirt. He says, I like your shirt. I said, oh, thank you. And I was busy talking to the son about the piece of equipment and stuff, but just thinking and seeing that God is working in that situation somehow, just a little ways. And the impression I got, this was a spiritual family, religious family. And so just noticing those things, that God is working in these things. He's trying to use you, or maybe He's trying to give you some spiritual food.
Yes.
In those situations.
And being unified in Christ is so important. And it's hard. It's a difficult thing sometimes, because the devil wants to drive a wedge in between us. A thing like the shirt that you're wearing, for a moment there, it brought some unity between you and that person.
Right.
Because you have a common thought. She wants to live a godly life. You want to live a godly life. So she commented, nice shirt. I like what it says. Yeah. And, you know, that can open the door for you to be able to witness in the future to people when they see that.
You know, talking about this relationship that we all need, and it can be such a beautiful benefit to our lives here on this earth between you and Jesus and you and His Father. But sometimes the devil attacks so hard, you get so down with all the difficulties you're facing in life. You can drive down the road and you can't see the beauty that God has created because you're so overwhelmed by what's going on in your life.
Very true.
You know, sometimes you just need to stop and just realize what's happening. You know, go to God, you know, talk to Him, talk about the difficulties, ask for help, and then open your eyes to see what God has already given you that you may not even notice. Mm. You know, the beauty of the surrounding area, maybe just a simple interaction with someone, you know, that God is saying, hey, I'm still here. I haven't gone any place. You know, trust me. Mm. You know, I will help you through this. You know, some of it's of getting through these is making good decisions ourselves, making difficult decisions ourselves.
Sure. And it's, difficult decisions. That's the story of life, it seems. But you were talking about slowing down and taking the time to think about and reflect on what God's provided.
Right.
This is the beauty of the fourth commandment about the Sabbath, because during the week, I'm running around all the time. There's so many things I've got this to do, that to do. But the Sabbath comes and there's a different mindset. And once you have established that all of God's commandments are in place and you can come away from all of those work things on that day, come together to worship, reflect on the things that God has done for you, take that nature walk, spend that time with God in prayer, there's nothing like it, Ed. And I was missing that all of my life.
You know, this morning, I'm not known to be a early riser. but this morning, I think I got up around 6:30.
Wow.
And and I put my hearing aids in.
You mean
in.
Right before we came here at 7?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I can't hear the birds without my hearing aids in.
Oh, wow.
And the birds were just wild, just singing and just nonstop for like an hour or more. Mm. And I normally don't hear that. And it's just such a blessing that God has created such simple things that we take for granted.
It's so true.
Just the birds singing in the morning, the beauty it adds to your life.
It does. That's what I was saying about my morning walk. When I go and I'm just, and I can hear them waking up and they're, it's an amazing thing. And I didn't realize you couldn't hear them without your hearing aids in. But that's another blessing. God has given us the ability to be able to make technology to enhance our imperfect hearing that we have these days. So I want to just touch on something too here. You know, we went through this Matthew chapter 12, and we read 22 through 32. We talked about blasphemy, but we're talking about living a life according to Christ. The next heading here is a tree known by its fruit.
Right.
And this is really what we're talking about, having the fruitage of God's Spirit. And here Jesus calls it out. Listen to what he says here in verse 33. And if we need to go back to where we were.
That's fine.
That's fine. But it says here, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. That's true. An apple tree produces an apple. An orange tree produces an orange. And you call it an orange tree because oranges come off of it. Mm-hmm. What do people see when they see you or me?
What do we produce?
Is it rotten fruit? Mm-hmm. Or is it fruit of God's Spirit? The next verse, he says, he's speaking to the Pharisees here. He says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
Remember, this is a continuing conversation that Jesus is having with the religious leaders, the Pharisees. They accuse him of casting out demons by the power of Satan, and he says, I cast them out by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of my Father. And he talks about, you know, blaspheming against me, saying bad things about me, will be forgiven men, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, you know, look out. You know, it's not going to be good. And so they have blasphemed God by calling the Spirit of God Satan. And here he goes on in the section you just read. He says, how can you, being evil, speak good things?
Mm-hmm. Verse 34.
They spoke evil things about his Father. He says, you know, out of a good tree comes good fruit. Out of a evil tree comes evil fruit. So it's impossible for them to speak good things because of the condition of their heart. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings out good things. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings out evil things.
Hmm.
And then he goes on to say, every word that you speak, you'll give an account for on the day of judgment.
Yeah, it'll either be something good or something bad.
Yeah. He says, for by your words you shall be justified, or by your words you shall be condemned.
Yeah. There you go. So when I, go ahead.
So what we speak comes from our hearts.
Right.
The condition of our heart, the condition of our character. And so you may think you can hide it, but given enough pressure,
that's it.
What's in your heart will come out. Given in the right situation, the emotions will rise up and you'll say what's on your heart.
I'm glad you said that, Ed, because this is really, this is what Jesus is pointing out here when he says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So people can cover it up for a while, and people can deceive you just like the devil deceives us.
Right.
The devil transforms himself into an angel of light.
Right.
And so he can make himself look innocent and beautiful and wise and
right.
And even speaking truth
mm-hmm.
at times. But the problem is he mixes that truth with error. And that is so dangerous. This is what makes... I have to go here for a moment. I was having a Bible study yesterday with someone that came from the church that I grew up in. And the church that I grew up in, just like your church, Ed, they called it the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what makes them so dangerous is that they have truth and error, and they mix them, just like the devil did. That's what makes him so dangerous. And so you, again, like you said, you put somebody under enough pressure. If somebody is around you and they present themselves as being having the fruitage of God's Spirit, if they do not, it will eventually come out.
Yeah. You know, consider who Jesus is talking to, the Pharisees, the high priest, the scribes and the lawyers. All these had a place in the religious system of Jesus' day. And all the ceremonies in the sanctuary, the temple, were to point to what Jesus would come and do.
Right.
They had the knowledge. The gospel was preached to them through the system of sacrifices. And yet, they didn't believe it because they rejected the very one that it pointed to, the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
But really, I think part of it was that it took them out of what they liked doing. It took away from them their routine. This is the danger of being too much into a routine rather than a relationship.
Okay.
Because you can they could take something to the altar. Okay, I've sinned, so I need to go to the altar and sacrifice this animal. If we had to do that today, I think most people, they would be mortified to see what had to happen with that animal, that you would have to slit its throat and watch it bleed out, pour out its blood, and then you would have to take that animal and put it on an altar and burn it. I think these things would probably, for the average person that's never seen an animal slaughtered for food or whatever, it would be traumatizing. Sin should be traumatizing.
Yes.
When we sin, it should be as traumatic as watching that, or more so.
Yeah.
And this was the whole purpose behind the sacrifice, to make them recognize what you have done has caused the death of another, and that other one was Jesus.
Yeah.
If we think about those things, Ed, I don't think that people put it into perspective. Jesus died for me. Well, think about it. He went to the altar for you. He gave his life for you. He suffered a grotesque death. I mean, he was beaten. He was battered. He was nailed to a cross. People spat on him. They slapped him. They put a thorny crown on his head.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how painful this was? And he bore that, never having done anything wrong, because of what I did wrong.
Right.
Really, I mean, when I think about that, it should cut us to the core.
Looking at what Jesus did on this earth, he did everything for everyone else. He healed people, cast out demons, and preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. And yet, he was treated like I deserve to be treated.
Yeah.
Because of what I've done, the sin I've sinned in my life.
By the thoughts we've had, even.
Yeah.
Some of the things that we think, and sometimes we think them out of anger. Well, what do we do later? Do we dwell on it and say, well, no, do we justify it? I was right.
Yeah.
Or do we say, Lord, help me never to do this again?
Yeah. Help me to repent. To
yes.
change.
Yes. And then, so here we have these religious leaders that are supposed to be the example for the people, and Jesus calls them a brood of vipers. And really, it was coming out of them. It was being revealed to everyone who these men really were. And these were the ones that actually had put Jesus to death. It's unbelievable.
Jesus didn't hate these men. He was trying to get them to repent, to believe in the mission that he came to accomplish, to as the Savior of the world. And, you know, they just refused.
Right.
Jesus calls them children of Satan. In John, I believe it's chapter 10.
Okay. I don't remember what chapter it was.
It's either 8 or 10. I always get those two chapters mixed up. So, you know, what's in our hearts will eventually come out. That's why we need, that's why God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Right.
To produce a change that only Christ can produce in us. That I can't do myself.
Right. And this is the real gospel message that we preach so often.
Right.
And friends, I know it seems we see the things going on in the world. I don't know about you, but I listen to the news. Sometimes I get angry.
Mm-hmm.
I get mad at the things that I see going on religiously, politically, how people are treated sometimes, all of these things. And I see such divisiveness in the world. I get angry and I'm thinking, why am I getting worked up over this? I have to turn it off. I have to, you know, I don't need to listen to that. It's not important, really, because those things truly, they don't affect me here. They just get me worked up when I listen to the news and I hear those things. I do want to know what's going on, but I guess the point that I'm making is, do you put your trust in this world, in the things of this world? We need to know what's going on in the world. Or do I put my trust in Jesus Christ, knowing that His Father is in control of everything? There's nothing that's going to happen that God has not allowed, and there's a reason for those things.
You know, walking the Christian walk, walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh, it's not a cakewalk. And you may say, well, what's a cakewalk?
Yeah, what is a cakewalk?
Well,
exactly?
Down south, I learned what a cakewalk
is. Oh, did you?
It's like a fundraiser. You ever go to a firehouse and they have a gathering area and there's numbers on all these squares around the outside of the perimeter of the room. And people walk those and they tell people to stop, and whoever's on a certain number they call out, you get a cake.
Oh, okay. So that's a cake. I never knew that.
Yeah.
I just learned something.
And so the Christian life, any life isn't easy.
Right.
But the Christian life is not necessarily easy because you're being attacked by Satan. But God is also trying to grow you through the experiences you have, to have you make a choice to follow Him, to decide, okay, even though I'm going to suffer these consequences, I'm going to do this because I want to be faithful to God, my Father.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so it's a growing experience. It's a character building experience. Who do you want to be? Do you want to be like Jesus? Or do you want to be like this world?
Could you imagine just going to a major city and asking somebody, do you want to be like Jesus? Do you think people would look at you kind of strange?
You know, I'm sure there are spiritual people in all places. But for the majority, I'm not sure they understand most of what we talk about here on the radio.
It's true. The things that we know and understand from God's Word, from reading God's Word, are very different. They're separate from a lot of Christianity and a lot of what Christians teach. For example, the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I was just talking to somebody again the other day, and they were saying, well, yeah, I think that the Ten Commandments, there's good value in them, but there's good value in them? Really?
I think you've told me you've had quite a few conversations that people say the law's been done away with, but we keep the spirit of the law.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
When I ask them, they can't explain it. because I can't keep the spirit of the law. If I'm committing adultery, am I keeping the spirit of the law?
No.
No. But if I'm not committing adultery, if I'm not stealing, that's the spirit of the law. Yeah. Not even thinking about it, sure, is the spirit of the law.
Right.
So these things, people don't like the word law. They don't like the word obedience.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like the word submission. And really, all of us, if any of us work a job, we have to submit to our boss.
If you just understand that God loves each one of us and that he wants the best for you in this life, and what he's given, the instructions he's given in his word, in his commandments, and his statutes and precepts and the words that the Bible uses are for our good.
Amen.
To better enjoy life, to better create lasting relationships with people on this earth, to better do his will, to perform the work he's given us on this earth. Yet people view God as someone who he's not, as a mean old God, mm-hmm, that just is out to get you.
Right.
That these laws of God are just requirements that limit you, keep you from enjoying life. That's the attitude of the world, and attitude of a lot of Christians, to be frank.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
But that's not who God is.
No, it's not.
He has designed his word to give you information to how to live your life for the best way to live life.
Yes.
And to be able to attain eternal life. That means having changes in your heart and mind that only Christ can bring about. But he's provided that. Not only did Jesus die on the cross to forgive me of my sins, to reconcile me to the Father, but he's also sent the Spirit of the Son into my heart to enable me, to empower me, to have a changed life, a changed mind, a changed heart, according to the way God created us initially to be, to better enjoy life, not according to the world,
right,
but according to God and his word.
These words are lost on so many people, and they, when you mention God or Jesus or the Bible to people, some of them, and some people light up,
yeah,
and some people, they frown. This whole interaction that we're reading about here in Matthew chapter 12, it occurred to me, this whole interaction started because Jesus healed someone on the Sabbath.
He was helping somebody.
He was doing what was good. He was, yeah.
Now the accusation, remember, this is an accusation.
Yes.
That he was breaking the Sabbath by doing that. But he wasn't breaking the Sabbath. He was just helping somebody out.
Yeah, Jesus could not be a lawbreaker and be sinless.
Right.
It says that he died without sinning. So he did not break the law of God. He broke the laws that the Pharisees had laid out. They actually took laws and made their own laws, man-made rules. Isn't this what we find in Christianity today? Well, in our church, you can't do this or you can't do that. Our church is usually what I hear.
Right.
Well, wait, whose church? Is it God's church or is it our church?
Right.
So all of these things, and it tells us that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Why would Jesus be Lord of something that he's doing away with?
Yeah. You know, people tend to lose track that the life of Christ on this earth was all about helping others,
mm-hmm,
doing good for them, healing them, showing them the way of salvation, sharing with them the gospel of the kingdom of God. And so, can you imagine seeing Jesus walking down a street in Jerusalem, beaten, bleeding, trying to carry a cross that he couldn't?
Right.
And you would say, what is going on here? Why are they doing that to Jesus?
Yeah. It's a very emotional thing to think about it. When I was talking about the fact that he did that for someone like me, for every person, for you, for the one, whoever's listening here, Jesus did that for you, that you could have eternal life, that you could make a choice.
It doesn't matter where you're at.
Right.
You know, Romans 5 talks about when we were without strength, when we were, didn't have the ability of ourselves to be obedient to God, to keep his commandments, when we were enemies to God. That's when Christ died for me.
Yes.
No requirements. A free gift, simply for the taking. All you have to do is accept it, and it's yours. Guaranteed.
Yes.
And but he doesn't leave us there. He also says, I'm going to send my spirit of my son into your hearts to enable you, to help you live this life better, to create changes in your heart and mind, and changes in the way you live your life. This is the love of God in action.
It is. It really is. And it frees us from the indwelling sin that we have when we allow Christ into our hearts.
Yeah.
It removes that.
We probably won't get there today, but just a few verses down in Matthew 12, verses 43 to 45, it talks about the return of the unclean spirit, a spirit that's been cast out, and goes in the wilderness, doesn't find any place to be, and he returns to the house that he was in, the person that he was in, and found it swept and cleaned, and brings seven other spirits that are more evil than him. The reason this happens is because there's a void there, a void of the Spirit of Christ.
Yes.
Who brings us the Spirit of his Father.
If they say about electricity and even water, it usually takes the path of least resistance, right? If you put water on a table or you just dump a little bit of water, you might see it trailing. It's because there's little areas on that table that might have little imperfections, and the water will find it. Mm-hmm. Well, Satan knows your imperfections. He has studied us, and he will find it. And if we don't have Christ in our hearts, if there's a void there, he will fill it. Ed, you gave a sermon a long time ago on this thing where people try to empty their minds. And their, and it really points out clearly that when we do that, we don't want to empty our minds. We don't want to do this form of, what do they call it? They have a name for it. It wasn't meditation. There was another name. I forget what it was. But they actually try to not think about things as far as emptying their mind.
Right.
This is dangerous. If you're going to meditate on something, meditate on Jesus Christ.
Meditate on the Word of God.
Yes.
Fill your heart and your mind with the Word of God.
Yes.
Allow Christ to fill you. Because like you said, if it's empty, something's going to replace that void.
That's right.
And you choose what goes in that void.
And this is what we're talking about. Make a choice. What's it say in I think it's in Deuteronomy, I put before you a blessing and a curse.
Right.
Life and death.
Choose life.
Choose life. Yeah. This is what Jesus is doing for us.
We control what we take in. Through our eyes, our mouth, our ears, through our senses. And that affects us.
It does.
And Satan knows that. And so guard your heart. Guard your mind. Control what goes in.
And that,
because it affects your character.
This means the music that you listen to, the choices that you make in music, the choices that you make in the videos that you watch, in the things that you do, the things that you put before your eyes,
things
your
you
ears.
Talk about with your friends.
Yes. And it's difficult. I mean, we've talked about somebody that we know that has made choices that has affected that person deeply because the friends didn't like who that person was becoming, becoming a Christian. And so that pressure that is put on you in a negative sense, does not come from God. That comes from the adversary himself.
You know, Mark, let's face it, what we talk about, what we share from God's Word, definitely is not popular in the world.
No, it isn't.
And in a lot of Christian churches, it's not popular. You may say, well, I'm going to lose all my friends. That may happen. But do you want those types of friends that are living their lives in opposition to God? Your friends influence you, whether you like it or not.
They do. They do. We take on their characteristics. We if you're around somebody and they have a particular habit, you might even develop that habit or that saying or coin a, they might have a certain word that they use a lot. You'll start doing that. It's just, that's what happens. We become like those that we're around.
So instead, start spending time with Jesus. Start spending time in the Word of God. Find others who have similar desires in life that have a focus on becoming who God created us to be, following Jesus Christ, finding your work God will has for you to do in this world, working towards the salvation of others.
Amen.
And you don't have to be a preacher.
Nope.
You don't have to be a singer. You don't have to be a writer. Just allow God to work in your life, and that is a testimony that people can't turn away from. They may not want to hear your words, but they'll see how you live your life, and it will have an impact on them.
And if it's in your heart, those that fruitage will come out, the pure fruit, the fruit of God's Spirit. Ed, believe it or not, we're out of time. That time went by so fast. And next week, I'd like to, if we can just pick up here again and talk about these, the sign the scribes and Pharisees asked for, and maybe more about the Spirit that returned, and having, we don't want that void in our life.
Yeah.
So let's just have a closing word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we contemplate these things that we just studied, I just ask that you will cause the listener to make a choice for you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, help us to really think about and reflect on the things that we put before our eyes and our ears and even the things that we touch, the things we put into our mouth. All of these senses affect us in so many ways, and these are beautiful senses you've given us. And Father, I just ask that you will help us, each one of us who are listening and those of us here, help us to make a choice for your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, until we come together again, I just ask that your Spirit will be upon us, that we will make good choices, that we will live our lives according to your will. And we just ask for forgiveness of sins when we fall short. And Father, help us to overcome by the Spirit of Christ living in our hearts. And we pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So friends, we're glad you tuned in with us. We hope you'll tune in again next week right here on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. next Sunday. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.